Hey, everybody, welcome to the Daily Objective. And today is Giving Tuesday. What is the origin of this holiday? What does it mean? That's what we're going to find out and explore here today. I think the general idea of it in the zeitgeist that people probably put on this day is that, you know, Thanksgiving is the day where we all ate and enjoyed ourselves. And then Black Friday, of course, we spent a bunch of money and consumed. So now Tuesday would be a nice time maybe to give rather than take. I think that's how most people probably look and interpret this holiday. But we're going to actually find out the actual origin of it. And we're going to actually explore it. Like, is it right to be offended by this holiday as students of objectivism? Or are we being a little bit too easily triggered by the name alone of this holiday? Let's jump right into it. I've got a guy here who, he's from Greece, and now the newest COVID variant has a Greek letter as its name. Why do the Greeks get to have COVID variants named after their letters? What did the Greeks ever contribute to the world? Let's find out. It's Nikos Sotirakopoulos.
Thank you, Raga. Thank you, and hi to everyone. So here's the idea then. So Thanksgiving, it's like this community thing. By the way, I did a whole episode on Thanksgiving and Black Friday, which says that even people who supposedly are in favor of this community spirit, they never liked Black Friday to begin with, or whatever was the predecessors of Black Friday. So you would see, for example, religious people not even liking Christmas, because the idea is Christmas is way too festive. Christmas was not in the Bible. So this is things which are not according to the spirit of sacrifice. So this is why then after some days you have the idea of giving. And the first thing is that when I think about it, you know, there are some people who they like giving gifts more than taking gifts. I think I like this attitude. When you give a gift to someone you like, you choose it very carefully. You think about what they like. You expect to see this beautiful smile on their face, this radiant attitude. But why do you do this? Do you really do this for, quote, only for them, or also because of the pleasure that you will enjoy? So I've always liked gifts, but gifts only to people I like. So therefore, for me, Giving Tuesday and Black Friday or whatever, there shouldn't be a dichotomy there. So obviously, yeah, it's a low-hanging fruit of an objective is to say we don't have a duty to give. But at the same time, giving is nice. Remember that scene in Atlas Shrugged where Riordan, who is a very, very, I don't want to say stoic, how to put it, is a man who doesn't indulge in things, who doesn't indulge in expenses. He buys this very beautiful necklace for, mildly spoiler, Dagny, and he gives it to her. And it's clear that he does it for himself. But at the same time, he values her so much that he can see no contradiction. He can see no dichotomy between I do something for you and I do something for me. I mean, I'm the recipient. Therefore, I enjoy. And that's good. That's perfectly fine. And the culture doesn't get it. Do you remember a couple of years ago, the Peloton, the bike ad? So the boyfriend bought a bike to his girlfriend. And the idea was he wanted her feet, who cares, to enjoy her quote more or whatever. And people freaked out. They said, oh, that's... But in a way, you do this all the time when you give a present. You value the person, but you also value what you get from that person. And there's nothing wrong with this. So this is my pitch on why Giving Tuesday is not that bad and we shouldn't be this kind of jumpy. Oh, if you properly understand it, it's a logical continuation, let's say, of Black Friday. Maybe there should be one day which says, go for values, go for things that you like, whether these are buying gifts to yourself or for people who are a gift in your life. If you love someone, if you enjoy someone's company, they're a gift to your life. So you buy them a gift, big deal.
Well, I'm not sure what you're describing is Giving Tuesday. It sounds more like Christmas, right? Like,
it's
yeah,
how you I buy... would perceive the giving part. Now, if this is turned though, give to causes, all give to Greenpeace or give to people you don't know, then yeah, we enter a different discussion, which I have things there to say as well. But generally on the idea of giving, I had these initial thoughts.
Well, obviously, we're less than a month away from Christmas, so I don't think anyone would invent Giving Tuesday in 2012, which, according to the internet, is when the day was created. I don't think anyone came up with Giving Tuesday just because they needed an extra Christmas, like an extra day where you give gifts to the people that you care about. I would think Giving Tuesday is about charity, meaning helping people either you don't know or you don't particularly value. It's kind of going out of your way to, quote, give back or to be of service, to help out people that need it, or just generally to spread positivity towards people that you haven't really chosen. So, yeah, nobody needs a special holiday added to the calendar to give lingerie to the girl that they want to see wear it. I think the idea here is giving. The word giving normally is not about helping your relationship flourish. Generally, it's used altruistically and in a enormous package deal. So I think by you invoking this image of, you know, Reardon giving a necklace to his mistress, it's you're sort of partaking in this package deal, or you're not helping clarify it. We're not helping clarify it if we use those examples. Am I wrong?
So here's what would my answer to this. Notice that the people who advocate charity also imply that at the end of the day, you will benefit. Some years ago, I remember I saw an ad in the tube that I took a photo of it because I was like, wow. It said something like, when you send money to, like, a child in Africa, adopting a child in Africa could change your life. So what's the usual line? Do something because it's going to change their life. Now the line is, it's going to change your life. Now, back then I was still a Marxist. So my frame was, what degeneracy? Even the most generous thing, which is giving, now it has this idea that you do it for yourself. And now from an objectivist viewpoint, I try to think about it. And there's this weird conundrum. So if it's about giving, why do you have to tell me that it's also good for myself? So you see that even people who advocate, let's say, a Giving Tuesday, even these people wouldn't really buy to this idea that what you're doing now is that you are sacrificing. So because this idea of sacrifice, because of this idea of altruism, cannot be self-contained, cannot be coherent, it always has to be watered down by this idea. But there's also something for yourself. I remember I said some weeks ago, this religious teacher we had at school who said, you should lend, but you should lend on things that you like doing. And he told to us, to schoolboys, you should not play with yourselves. And when we would push a bit and say, why is that? Then he would come up with a second layer. Okay, first layer, you give up something and God appreciates that. Second layer, it's good for you. So like, it's good not to play with yourself for 40 days, or when it comes to lend, it's good for you not to eat meat. And the question is, which of the two is it? Is it that by giving to others, I receive something? And then it's in which case it's not altruism? Or is it that you're trying to tell me, be an altruist, but because I know that this is not a system which can be smooth in terms of it can be coherent, then we find ourselves in this situation where we have to water it down.
You know, this selling of altruism as something that benefits you selfishly is not new. And in fact, it goes way back to the advent of altruism itself. If you read Auguste Comte, he describes the sort of adolescent frustration and anxiety and restlessness and aimlessness of being selfish. And he says, if you have otherism, you know, like benefiting. Maybe, yeah, I think I'm thinking of Comte, or maybe I'm thinking of a utilitarian from around the same time. Or would you call Comte a utilitarian? I'm not sure. But anyway, point being, everywhere you look in philosophy, everything that I've read, whenever somebody is telling you to renounce and sacrifice, they tend to start by telling you, look how unsatisfied you are by your own selfish pursuits. Look how anxious you are. And this speaks to people. This reaches people like teenage me and many adults that don't have Ayn Rand's philosophy in their life. Many people, they say, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. The pursuit of happiness does not lead to happiness. It actually is something higher, greater than yourself, that leads to happiness. So yes, ironically enough, it is by appealing to people's values, by their own selfishness, that you are able to then sell them altruism in one form or another. So this is not unique to Giving Tuesday or to any other charitable occasion. This tends to be how it's sold, because even when you're telling people to be selfless, you need to persuade them to do it. At the end of the day, good versus evil does boil down to your early life evaluation of pain versus pleasure. Is that a fair thing to say? I mean, good and bad, basically, at the very base level, is this feels good and this hurts. Go ahead.
Yeah, now that you said this, I'm doing some on-the-spot introspection. Were you ever a Christian?
Never.
Okay. So in my Christian kind of altruist youth, I remember that, let's say, on Christmas night, we would go with my family to a nice party or something, to a nice house. Always we'd stop on the way and give something to the poor. And the thing is, the feeling of fulfillment is real. Now, the question is this because you have bought so much to the idea that altruism is good, that when you do it, you get a genuine pleasure? So you see what I'm saying? That if there are two ways that you can see it, one is that I think I'm doing something nice when I'm helping. But could it be that even if you're not doing something nice and you do it as a duty, you get this relief that I did something good, and you persuade yourself that you did something good? Now, we could say that long-term this might not work. So think about Ellsworth to his niece. She has completely bought into this altruism stuff. And when she starts helping people out of duty, she senses that, okay, I've done something important. Then the deeper she goes, she's like, okay, but I'm not getting anything out of it. In which case, why is this happening? And then too, he manages to completely assassinate her character, her mind, in which case he has zero values, like, and it doesn't matter and I don't care. But I do remember giving, and giving to random people that I wouldn't know, and getting a very, very immense pleasure. And again, I'm trying to think if this is by the act of giving that you could see that, you know, I have a lot of things, I'm not going to miss something, these people need it, therefore it's good. Or it's this duty bound that, phew, I did my duty, now I can go on and party myself. So, and I find it very interesting symbolically that we were on the way to party. I mean, partying, like family gathering, partying, but wearing nice clothes, going to a nice place. So first, do your thing, and then you can party. In a way here, it's the opposite. Like, you did your partying on Friday, now do your duty. So it's, as people realize, today it's one of the least prepared episodes. We're thinking mostly on the spot, and we would appreciate people's take on this. Having said that, can I also make a pitch for people to give to the Ayn Rand Center UK? I mean, that's not a fundraising episode, but I mean, it will come. It comes organically, this idea that if you get value from what we're doing, think about it this way. If you get value, contribute in the way Reardon would contribute to his mistress. Think it this way. We are your mistress, you are Reardon. If you're going to get value from this, feel free to contribute. And that's the only way to put it. Because I'm very, very bad at asking anything. I'm very bad at asking for things. So maybe if you think, what, and the reason is, I still in my mind, it's not a trade. Still in my mind, let's say when someone gives a super chat, it's like, I still don't give it as a trade. So it's not only that I have to quote, explain to the world that giving is not a sacrifice. I also need to explain to myself that taking is not a sacrifice. So anyway, thinking out loud here.
No, this is great stuff. And I think you're projecting insecurity when you say we're unprepared. I think we're years into this, thinking about this and properly trying to understand it. So yes, there's a very kind of superficial kind of level one student of objectivism view that says, oh, selfishness means, you know, you don't even give somebody a moment, your arm when they're drowning and it would take you no effort. or just generally that there's nothing to get from charity. And I think Ayn Rand made a statement that I think someone needed to ask her, can you explain what you mean by this? When she said, like, I don't regard charity as a major virtue. But I think if I had the opportunity to ask her, well, the pursuit of your values is virtuous, right? It's your values. So if that happens to include donating money towards something that you believe in that matters to you, is that good? Obviously, I think she would say, yes, of course, that's wonderful. So I think what she means by charity, I think we can probably, I don't know exactly. She probably just meant it's less attuned with your values and it's maybe done maybe either sort of out of duty or just it's not that important to you. Now, I think Rand definitely clarified her position best in an interview when asked, like, what's so bad about helping people? And she said something like, it's not a sacrifice to feed your child, or it's not altruism to feed your own child. What is a sacrifice is to make your child miss a meal so that the neighbor's child can eat. And that is altruism. That right there is what people really want to see when they advocate for altruism, when they advocate for sacrifice. They want to see some families suffer, and they use the guise of wanting to help a different family. Ultimately, I think it is driven by envy, and it is nihilistic. It is the destruction of values itself that motivates that type of thing. But yes, the level one kind of error that people make, like this sort of level one superficial view of objectivism, is like, yeah, being selfish means, you know, completely don't lift a finger to help anybody. But I think more of a kind of a level 10 understanding is when you realize, you know, basically just kind of living the life that you were more or less were already living, or that you see a lot of people living, is sort of the idea. But you need an ethics that is compatible with that, so that when you pursue your values, you're not collecting guilt, but you're rather building self-esteem. Generally speaking, of course, you would need to look at specific cases, but generally, going to work, if you have a family, you know, spending time and taking care of them, maybe giving some of your income to a charity that you believe in, or a nonprofit that you believe in, or any cause that you believe in. These are generally things that a lot of people do in the modern world, and that it's generally probably what you would end up doing anyway, even if you are an objectivist. After you're an objectivist, it's not night and day different, but the difference is the moral appraisal, I suppose, of these actions, and the recognition that it's all selfish. It's all rationally selfish. You're not actually sacrificing anything by having this hierarchy of values.
And when you're generous, it's like, even in the word generous, it's kind of, you get something out of it. It's a good way to go through life, this largesse. Again, not sanctioning people that you don't like, not missing something, but, and it's nice. It's even an idea of you're leading. You want to put people at your level. You don't compromise with people being undeservingly unhappy. You don't want this world. You want everyone to be at their best. And again, this is very, very, very different from the point of view of, let's say, the professional charitable person. Again, think about Tuhi's niece, Catherine, what's her name? She doesn't like the people she helps. She wants to see them kept down. And I know people who are big in charity, and I think, and they have the quote, nice guy syndrome, which in a way it's, I've done all these things for you. Now what? Which is such a horrible way to put it. So again, giving from a point of view and from a premise of largesse is good for you and for the world, put it this way. But having this kind of, in a way, you want to take from the situation when you, it's like, look, I helped you. Now it's your turn to help me. And some years ago, this is completely off the objectivist record. I've read the No More Mr. Nice Guy book. And this was something that really got me, that quite often when, quote, nice guys do nice things, they have something very, quote, selfish there, but it's not selfish. It's, I cannot project my values to the world. I cannot have value. So my way of having value is kind of manipulating and shaming you for, look, I did something, now give something back. But not in terms of kind of we exchange value, in terms of I haven't anything going on for me. And the only thing I can do is to give you something, although I don't respect you, although I don't like you, and then give me something back. Otherwise, I'm going to lash out on you.
So I've done volunteer work, and it does feel great. At a certain point, in some cases, it doesn't feel great. Like I volunteered at a food distribution place some years ago. And at first I thought, yeah, this is great. I like this. I like how, you know, people are going to eat because of this. And then I realized, like, after a while, seeing people that were just kind of living off this, they're not ambitious to get out, or they don't appear to be, they appear complacent. So I lost interest in that. Now I have tried to help people get off of alcohol and drugs. Obviously that's a huge value, and it kind of speaks to what I think is the ultimate type of best way to help somebody, which is to treat them like you expect a lot of them, to see them as an adult, to see them as somebody fully capable. So I think pity, the feeling of pity is malevolent universe. There's no need for pity. No matter who you're looking at, see them for their full potential, know that they're efficacious and that they can rise to every occasion within their own context. And that's, I think, the best thing you can do for anyone. So, you know, for all the volunteer work that people do to help the mentally handicapped people, the best thing you can do for them is offer them a job, you know, train them to work at the grocery store or to work at the factory. And many people do. And I think that's the greatest thing you can do. You're giving somebody the tools to earn their own living, at least in part, and to rise to their own full potential and to attain whatever self-esteem they're able to achieve. So at the end of the day, giving is not the greatest thing you can do for somebody. Helping, like training somebody, trading with them, getting a value from them by hiring them, etc., is the best thing you can really do for anybody.
One wants to feel a subject of pity. No one wants to feel right. A subject of pity. And this is also an argument against the welfare state, that it's bad for the person who gives without their will. But how more self-esteem devastating is for the person who receives, that it puts you into that category. Anyway,
yeah.
So I think we managed to have a decent discussion on a topic that, again,
Nikos, you're like a guy, you're like a beta when you speak this way. Oh, I hope we're able to do this episode. Oh, I know, guys, I know this is not going great. Do you behave this way on a date? Do you apologize? Do you
never
say, I know this isn't a great date, but I'm not really prepared? So why don't you treat this show like you're on a date? You know, put your best
here's
foot
why,
forward.
Here's why. Because I want, every time I come in a show, I have hours of prep and pages of notes. And today I didn't. So I want to be transparent and open with the audience that, you know, some days are different than other days. But point taken.
Okay, yes, point taken. That's all you needed to say. You know, there is a value to being prepared, and there's also such a thing as getting on a stage saying, I need a word from the audience, and they throw a word at you, and now you improvise an entire 20-minute show based on that one word. So that there is a value to that. That is a skill, and sometimes that's what we do on this show. We're given a topic, and we turn it into a discussion. There's no need to ever show any fear or insecurity, if you can help it, in my opinion. Okay, speaking of giving, some people have given us super chats here. Marilyn with 149, Sammy's Bored Again with 99 pence, Roland with 499 euros says, how about a super chat Tuesday? Now that sounds like a great idea. Shazbot with 999 says, is it taboo for a person to receive anything on Giving Tuesday? That seems problematic, logically speaking. Yeah, I mean, well, the thing with altruism, if you see Giving Tuesday as an instance of altruism, why is it, you know, then it just raises the issue with altruism in general. Why is it not selfish for the recipient of your sacrifice? Which is why at the end of the day, the call for sacrifice is not about anybody benefiting. It's, you know, they want to see you renounce. They want to see him renounce. They want to see everybody be a little bit less happy and prosperous. Sammy with 99 pence again. Rat Lover with 10 pounds says, yes, I think Giving Tuesday might be rewarding and not altruistic if the individual giving isn't self-sacrificing, but the feeling happy and finds it rewarding and gets satisfaction when giving. Bonnie with $2 says, sure, when it's my choice. Nope, that is, we are not okay with that. We want you giving us out of our choice, but I'm kidding. Jonathan with $4.99, thank you for that. Roland with $4.99, again, Euro says, here's some more cash, mistress. Interesting, but we'll take it. Robert with $2 says, super chat, contributions are selfish, or should be. And in that spirit, I will tell the audience, please be more selfish. Robert again with $2 says, charity is optional, but it can be great fun. Marilyn with $50 American. That's right. It's Giving Tuesday, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Let's make every Tuesday Giving Tuesday, shall we? She says, weren't we promised the Fab Four, Nikos, Rucka, Jonathan, and Mark wearing pink jumpsuits and singing in harmony? See, Nikos, it's a trade. Did you promise her this? Because I did not.
No, but I was thinking, do you remember that we said people, or was this a dialogue I had with myself? I don't remember having myself or you, that we would do 100 pull-ups when we get to 200 to 2,000 subscribers.
You may have mentioned this to me, but I certainly did not agree to that.
Okay, because soon we're going to be in 3,000 subscribers. So I'm trying to think.
It's a good thing to think about, everybody. Please subscribe. And by the way, leave a like. We now have no dislike button on YouTube. Did you guys see this? The dislike button, it's there, but you can't see the dislike count.
It's likes egalitarianism,
yeah,
in a way.
It is. It is egalitarianism. That's what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where this is coming from. But you, the YouTuber, can see in your own analytics how many dislikes you got, but no one else can see it. All right, that's a whole nother episode. Robert with $5 says, it helps if you've lived below your means. Charity can be a burden if you live such a way that your finances are always tight. It helps if you've lived below your means. Charity can be a burden if you live in such a way that you're fine. Okay, yeah, if you're poor, you don't need to be giving money away. I mean, yeah, that it is. It's obnoxious when people feel a duty and they've got their own kids and their kids are wanting. But they're showing their kids, look, we're giving money away to charity instead of me providing better for our household. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic, and it often comes with some religious guilt, or even worse, secularized religious guilt, which is a whole new level of depraved. You asked me if I was ever a Christian. You know, the interesting thing is there's, you know, the Orthodox religious Jews, you know, which definitely have a whole lot of duty and charity and commandments like you would lose count of. And I used to think, oh man, like growing up, it would be so cool to be like a reform, you know, more secular reform Jew. Like, yeah, they hardly have any commandments. They have the easiest lives. No, what they are, I understand today, are like Christianized Jews, where like to them, fixing the world, quote unquote, is the religion. It is the call to action. And it's absolutely psychologically damaging in a way that no commandments ever could, in my opinion. So I realized, like I told Ben Baer when he was on the show, I used to be jealous of Christians, like, oh, they have much easier lives. Now, understanding what guilt and altruism and mysticism does to you psychologically, I'm no longer jealous of any Christians. And I'll add secular reform Jewish people to that category. Back to the super chat, Sammy with 99 pence. Thank you for that. Allison with $5 says, as long as there is no force involved, then donate as much as you can. Money, skills, whatever you can offer to your heart's content. To each their own. To your heart's, I mean, as much as you can, as much as you want to, as much as is within your own hierarchy of values. That's the big thing here, you know? So everything in a context. You give as much as your hierarchy calls for.
And also knowing why you do it and whether it contributes to a healthy mindset. So I remember in my altruistic days, these were the golden days in Greece, around 99, year 2000, the times of prosperity. There was one house in the neighborhood where was a very poor person without electricity and all that. And we would, in a way, see him as a saint. Like, we are all polluted by materialism, and this guy is a saint. He doesn't even have electricity. which is weird, because why is this the case? Were we sympathizing because, let's say, there was a disaster that hit him? Or was it the fact that he hadn't achieved anything? It kind of automatically gave him an aura of virtue. So that's why I'm saying be careful, because your attitude on giving and on altruism might take you in a path which is not good. So this idea that I like this guy because he hasn't achieved something, not out of sympathy for his misfortune, because we didn't even know what his misfortune was. So that, in retrospect, that was a very, very, it was almost a, I like you because you haven't done anything good thing.
Yeah, and I mean, this type of, this kind of misappraisal of things, this whole idea that, like, I mean, I don't know exactly how to jump to this point, but the idea that, like, white men have been told, like white young boys have been told in recent decades, like, you've had it good enough for too long. Now it's time for you to put your head down and let the women and the people of color rise up. It's like, imagine telling any person, don't live to your full potential, don't pursue a good life. Who speaks to people that way? Altruists, people who believe in egalitarianism, people who are not selfish, because a truly selfish, egoistic, rational person, it would never occur to them to tell anyone, don't live to your, you know, put your head down and be ashamed of who you are. So it's people need to be selfish and they need to have an understanding of what real selfishness is. Those are all the super chats. We can go on. Unlike you, I know this could be a 2-hour episode if we wanted to. This is one of those conversations you could be having with somebody by the fireplace and it goes through the night. So I'm coming from the place that, like, oh, how are we going to cram so much into only 20, 30 minutes? But it's time.
You come from an attitude of abundance.
That is true. That is absolutely correct. All right. So coming up at 7 p.m. UK time, it's the I Am Justice study group with Don Watkins. And the book is by Don Watkins. Imagine being able to discuss that book with the author and study it. So it's for members only. So if the sheer joy of giving is not enough to make you a member of this channel and this network, I would suggest doing it for the selfish joy of this study group. So join us, link in the description and link in the chat. 8:30. Yes.
Don is not going to be here in every session. He's going to be in the first session and in the last session. Today is the first session. So what?
So what?
No, show up, not so what.
Show up. And so what if he's there or not? It's great content either way. At 8:30 p.m. UK time, James Valiant and Robert Naser will be discussing The Assault on Integrity, the essay by Alan Greenspan in Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal. Then at 10 p.m. UK time, Kirk and Tom will be discussing If, a poem by Rudyard Kipling. What kind of name is that?
I'm sold. I'm going to listen to this sold. As a podcast or whatever tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have something at that time, but I mean, it's one of my great. Okay, it's predictable to say I like this poem, but I really like this poem.
All right. And then back to the super chats. A rat lover with 10 pounds says, I saw the dislike button. I never wanted to be Christian. Personally, I'm not sure I want to celebrate Christmas anymore, and I am interested in celebrating Hanukkah. Well, better hurry. It's already a couple of days in, so celebrate before it's over. Enric with $4.99 says, giving towards realizing my goals of a good world of reason. Well, those are my goals too, so you sending us money is clearly in cahoots with both of our values. All right. With that being said, I guess we can jump over to Clubhouse now. We want to hear what you all think. Meet us over there. Please leave a like on this video on your way out. And thank you for being here today. See you back here tomorrow for the Daily Objective. Thanks, Nikos, and goodbye.